WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Shenandoah County's school board bans political flags, including the pride flag. Louisa County issues strict rules on water usage as drought conditions worsen. And November election issues top the week's political headlines in Virginia, and Jeff Shapiro is here to talk about it. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, July 12th. After renaming schools after Confederate leaders, the Shenandoah County School Board has banned the display of some kinds of flags on school property, including the LGBTQ plus pride flag. WHSV reports that the new rule prohibits the display of flags or decor that promote any, quote, political, social, or ideological messages. Once in effect, only the United States flag, county flag, school flags, or armed forces flags can be displayed on school property. A Barbersville resident is suspected of putting together a hoax terrorist attack on Centara Martha Jefferson Hospital in Albemarle County this week. The Daily Progress reports that the man entered the hospital Wednesday, made a threat, left a bag behind, and then left the building. He was later arrested by county police. The individual is currently being held without bond at the regional jail. At the beginning of July, Louisa County supervisors declared a drought watch, and this week the Water Authority issued mandatory restrictions. The notice prohibits residents from watering lawns or outdoor plants, washing vehicles or sidewalks, and residents cannot fill or refill swimming pools with more than 5 gallons of water. If reservoir levels remain low, additional measures could be put in place, including rationing and the implementation of new water rates. In June, the Department of Environmental Quality issued a drought warning for 12 other counties in the Shenandoah Valley in northern Virginia, and most of the valley and the Blue Ridge regions are under severe drought conditions. That's according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Augusta Health's Population Health and Community Outreach and Partnership Team began setting up off-site medical clinics in 2022. The goal is to provide free healthcare services to the underinsured in the valley. Isaac Isolo is Augusta Health's Director of Public and Primary Care Services.
You know, they're going to have a lot more challenges, more negative outcomes, higher cancer rates, right? And they're not the ones getting screenings. They're not going to the physicians, whether they're challenged with financial limitations, accessibility, transportation limitations, or even a gap in health literacy.
Augusta Health was named one of two 2024 Health Equity Award recipients by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The award recognizes organizations that have had a significant impact on health equity for specific populations in their communities. A new VCU health study found that women are at higher genetic risk for PTSD than men. VPM News health reporter Adrienne McGibbon has more.
Researchers at VCU Health partnered with a group in Sweden to look at the role genetics plays in PTSD. Ananda Amstadter's research focuses on traumatic stress. She worked on the study.
To be able to compare the two sexes is completely new because the landscape of the studies before were either all male samples or all female samples.
The study looked at data from nearly 800,000 twins and siblings of the opposite sex. Researchers found women were 7% more likely than men to experience PTSD. Amstadter says the study's findings may impact how care providers approach their response to traumatic events.
One of the implications for that might be in the wake of a mass trauma, females might need more preventative services to prevent the onset of PTSD compared to males because they might have higher genetic risk kind of coming into the scene.
And she says the study could help lead to the development of better drugs to treat PTSD.
Adrienne McGibbon reporting. Democrats concerned about whether President Joe Biden can win in November and serve another 4 years have roughly 2 months left to make a change on Virginia's presidential ballot. The Virginia Mercury reports that under election law in Virginia, the last day for political parties to get a nominee on the ballot is September 6th. The state's newly expanded 45-day voting window begins September 20th, which means ballots need to be finalized and printed before that key date. Biden easily won Virginia's Democratic presidential primary on Super Tuesday, but he will not officially be the party's nominee until later this summer. November election issues topped the political headlines in Virginia this week. Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope recap the week in politics and state government.
All right, so a lot to talk about this week, starting with the fate of President Joe Biden. Jeff Shapiro, it seems like Senator Warner and Senator Kaine are not saying quite the exact same thing. What exactly is happening with the Senate delegation in Virginia?
You know, it's interesting. Mark Warner and Tim Kaine are old friends. They go back to Harvard Law School days. They were back-to-back governors. They're like the old married couple of Virginia politics. They sort of complete each other's sentences. They tend to vote together for the state. But on the matter of Joe Biden, there seems to be some subtle but significant differences. Warner is apparently terrified that Warner, because of that disastrous debate performance, is going to cost the party the White House as well as Congress. It was leaked, apparently, much to the senator's surprise, that he was trying to organize some meeting with senators, with the president, perhaps to implore him to at least consider withdrawing. Kaine, on the other hand, is standing with the president, though there seem to be some shaded remarks attributed to the junior senator that suggest, you know, he might be on the same page as Mark Warner. The big difference here is Tim Kaine is standing for re-election. So he's spending a lot of time in Virginia, moving around, talking to voters, talking to Democratic activists. And what he is hearing for the most part is stand with Joe. Mark Warner, on the other hand, is talking to a lot of insiders, big donors, political consultants, strategists, that sort of crowd. So it's not surprising, I suspect, that we have this surprising difference between the senators.
In the 5th Congressional District, incumbent Congressman Bob Good lost the primary to challenger John McGuire, and now he's launching a recount. Jeff Shapiro, is there any chance that recount might change the results of this primary election?
That would seem unlikely, certainly given some of the advances in election security, despite what one hears from folks like Donald Trump and his followers. Bob Good lost this nomination, an incumbent by 374 votes. He's entitled to a recount because the spread between Good and John McGuire, the winner, was just over 0.5%. Good has to pay for it. His campaign manager says that they are expecting to pay perhaps up as much as $100,000 to finance the recount. Those would be dollars to the states as well as to their lawyers.
And in Richmond, Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin is having quite a week. He is celebrating the ranking of Virginia as being best in business. He's also issuing an executive order about cell phones in the classroom. Jeff Shapiro, what's going on at the executive mansion?
Certainly, the former private equity guy turned governor is giddy about Virginia's number one status being restored. Remember, it was number two last year, number three the year before. Obviously, a big talking point for a governor on the downhill side of his term, a term in which Democrats and Republicans are hard-pressed to point to any really consequential accomplishments. We have as well this executive order by the governor to offer guidance to local school systems on banning student cell phone use during school hours. This is not the first time the administration has tried to do this. Remember, there were those guidelines from the Department of Education on how local schools should deal with trans kids. That was something of a controversy that seemed only to institutionalize the perceived hostility of this governor for LGBTQ kids.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
See you then.
And finally today, Congresswoman Jennifer Wexton is not letting health problems silence her for the rest of her term in office. She's getting a new voice thanks to artificial intelligence. Michael has that story.
Hi, it's Congresswoman Jennifer Wexton.
That's the sound of AI Jennifer Wexton, the creation of software company Even Labs, using a series of public speeches from the Congresswoman whose voice has been silenced by progressive supranuclear palsy.
For those of you who heard me speak before PSP robbed me of my full voice, you may think your ears are deceiving you right now. I assure you, they are not. I'm very pleased to debut my new AI voice today and share how this remarkable technology has helped empower me to keep living my life and doing the job I love.
She says AI technology can be a scary new frontier, especially if used in the wrong ways by people with malicious intentions.
They can also provide new, unimaginable, and life-changing opportunities for Americans with disabilities. That's why I cried happy tears when I first heard my new, old AI voice.
Wexton is not running for re-election this year, but she's still a member of Congress until January, and she's hoping her new voice will help her finish the job in Congress. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and hope you enjoy your Friday.